This is James Gillen, broadcasting live from Casa Milagro in Jalapas, Mexico. We've had quite an event happening here. There's people up as we speak on top of the star deck here, and they're doing a ceremony. We've had quite a few ships come over and say hi during the trip here, and it's a very interesting group. There's a lot of people here working on permaculture, working on communities, putting together the communities. It's a hand-picked gathering of people that all came together to talk about pretty much where we're going and what we need to do to adjust to the changes coming up in the future and how we need to, you know, start working as a community and working together and working with the land and working with the earth. The trip here has just been phenomenal. We had to take off, you know, as usual from Portland and landed in Puerto Vallarta and took a water taxi all the way around here. There's really no roads to get to this place. But it's just an amazing little bay here. It's very beautiful. The people have been wonderful. And it's been an amazing trip. Before I go too far, I want to give a shout-out to Kelsey and Patrick and Dennis, all who are working very hard to keep the ranch going, and Gene. And it's just been an amazing trip. There's so much going on right now, I don't even know where to start. When we started this group, we found out that there were not a lot of orb activity or other things. And as we moved into the group and the more energy work we did and the more we got together, the more we started seeing a lot more activity, not just some things flying around up in the sky, but we're getting amazing pictures of faces of orbs and these green men, like nature spirits and things of that nature. So it's been a lot of fun. We've been hiking up to waterfalls, jumping off cliffs, getting eaten by alligators, not really, but it's been just amazing, you know, the terrain here and the beauty here, and it sure beats shoveling snow. That's all I would say. But I wanted to interview some of the people, bring on Carol, who is the sponsor of this group and brought us all together here, and she has an amazing new video that she's, is it up on YouTube yet? Or
it's part of it.
Yeah, if part of it is up on YouTube, she can tell you more about that, and she can give you a little bit about her work and what she's doing and bringing this group together and the video she's putting together. So welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio, Carol.
Thank you very much, James. It's good to be here, and it's good to be connecting in radio land from beautiful Jalapa in Casa Milagros. And it has been an amazing week. This group of people that we brought together, there were 16 adults and one almost two-year-old that became a beautiful community, a beautiful family in this beautiful place and in this really big time of major transition on the planet. And so it became a very positive, hopeful, transformative time, because we have all genuinely experienced what it's like to become a community. And this is what my new work is all about. I am a seer, and I have been watching evolution in action since 1987 when my third eye opened, and have seen many shifts, many openings, many changes in Earth's energy field, and have had some beautiful experiences. I went to the Findhorn Foundation in Scotland and became very inspired about what we can do together when these earth changes occur in such a powerful way that are really, you know, changing the landscape. Our conditions are changing in a way that is, you know, it's beyond just global warming. It's evolution. And Mother Earth is coming into a new phase, and she's going through some major changes, and economies are collapsing, and governments are collapsing, and this is just the old structure that needs to get out of the way for Mother Earth's new cycle to take hold. And what I saw when I was in Findhorn was this beautiful way that community can take place in a self-sustainable, earth-friendly, spiritually focused manner that was truly inspiring. And when I came away from there, I started having a series of visions that showed the earth populated with these self-sustainable, in harmony with Mother Earth communities. That is what really inspired me to go back to Findhorn and get more training on how to develop eco-village spiritual communities better in harmony with Mother Earth and with each other. And so the new video that James just mentioned is called Just One Key, and it's based on the lyrics from the Youngblood song in 1967 that says, "We hold the key to love and fear all in one trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command." So it's all about how love is the choice that will lead us to our heart's desires. And in that, I talk about the ways that we can achieve our heart's desires, even amidst the framework of major change and collapse and so forth, that the power of love, when we experience that with the divine potential of unlimited resource, will shape the future into this beautiful way of living in harmony with Mother Earth. And the introduction to that is on YouTube, and it can be searched either Just One Key or Carol Haywood Bobrowskis, or Carol Haywood, H-E-Y-W-O-D, and then it's also going to be available on my website, which is www.passionatepinky.com. And Passionate Pinky is also, I've written a book called Passionate Pinky and the Evolutionary Experiment, which talks a lot about my visions and what I've seen in the evolutionary progress. So it is a very exciting time in the midst of all the framework that is collapsing and is in some views causing some upset among people because the things that they're used to are collapsing and there's a bit of panic. But what I see us going into in this way of self-sustainable communities where we're growing our own food and we are going into alternative energies. And one of the things that I talk about in the video is how in these visions I have seen that there are these very new alternative technologies that are very advanced. And when I first started seeing these visions, it was beautiful. It was these new advanced technologies that were well integrated into these communities. And I was like, well, this must be way in the distant future because it seems so advanced to me and so well integrated. And what came back to me was a very clear answer saying, no, this is the very near future. And I was totally intrigued by that because I was like, how are we ever going to get from where we are now to this advanced technology and this beautiful way of life in such a short time? And the answer that came back was extraterrestrials. The extraterrestrials are going to help us. As soon as that negative influence of government and military and low vibration is that we are beyond that, that the extraterrestrials are standing by to help us make this transition and help us with these new technologies and help us become a very healthy, in harmony with Mother Earth, sustainable culture that is community-based and heart-based and in peace and harmony and just in this very loving existence that will totally shift our way of life so that we have help. You know, it's we don't have to get out of this mess on our own. We have these beautiful beings who are standing by ready to step in and assist us in this transition. And I, for one, am really happy to hear that. I think it's really good news, and I'm going to be the first one running with open arms to welcome them.
All right. Thank you so much, Carol. That's kind of an amazing vision, and we all support that vision, and she's been sharing that vision with everybody here, and it seems that I don't know anybody here that's not on board with that, and we're all working together to, you know, create this beautiful, sustainable ecosystem and a retreat center. The East Eddy Ranch is where we're going to be building this, and also we're going to be working in Yalapas and some other areas as well to build these communities where they are, you know, working with the highest frequencies, the highest vibration, and also with our feet on the ground as well, you know, working in the land and restoring the land and making everything, you know, sustainable through permaculture and other technologies. And speaking of permaculture, we have one of the master permaculturists here with us right now, and he can talk a little bit about the work he's doing and probably some of the dreams that we've put together at the East Eddy Ranch. And so we're going to welcome Chuck to the phone. Welcome, Chuck, to As You Wish Talk Radio.
Thank you, James. It's indeed been a pleasure to be part of this group that Carol brought together this week. I met Carol at a permaculture convergence, a Washington State permaculture convergence last fall, and she talked about some of her visions and dreams, and the next thing I knew, she was inviting me to come share my permaculture with a group of people who were coming together to create a community over a week with James and many other beautiful people. And what I really found was such a wonderful manifestation of permaculture already, which is a way of creating healthy communities of people, animals, and plants. And this was a practice in creating a healthy community of people, where people were sharing with one another and working together and you know, really carrying out the ethics of permaculture, which are care for the earth, care for the people, and share the surplus. And you know, it was I know a lot about growing plants and how permaculture likes to use a lot of perennials because they're very efficient because their roots are already in the ground, and to plant the perennials together into associations that work well together, like guilds. But the folks here were already very much in tune with a lot of things about permaculture that just come naturally to people, because it's really just using what nature does and just trying to learn from nature. And as we stayed here in Yalapa and looked around at how people were living here and growing food and living on the land, you know, it was a wonderful learning experience to learn permaculture by just watching what nature is doing with the plants that people are working with, and what are the best ways to, you know, thinking about what are the best ways to grow food and be productive with the least amount of human energy but the most amount of love. I learned as much permaculture as I think I taught this week. And, you know, how really a system is a living being that, you know, takes on a life of its own and works and learns and lives, learns and helps to get better and better, as it grows. That's pretty much what a permaculture system is, whether it's an orchard or a farm or a group of people that are trying to be healthy together. So thanks very much for allowing me to be part of this wonderful process.
All right. So we want everybody to bring your rakes and your shovels and your seeds and your fruit trees and your berry bushes and whatever else you have to come on up to the ranch, and we'll put you to work. So we'd love to all work together and just create one big happy family. There's so much going on up there. We find out the more time you spend on the land, the more your frequency rises and the more contact you have with these beautiful ultra-dimensional beings, and some of them are actually on our frequency as well. So it's not, a lot of people think at the East Eddy Ranch we're just walking out and staring up in the sky and looking for UFOs, but it's actually a community. And we're going to be doing body, mind, and spirit there. We're going to be teaching all kinds of classes. We'll be having some Kunlun classes. It's a very, very, very ancient form like Qigong, and we'll be starting those pretty soon towards the end of March. And we'll have probably some yoga classes starting up, you know, as well as the permaculture classes, and who knows? It's in the works right now. Nothing's set in stone, but we're figuring out when we're going to be having these events. And we've also got the conferences coming up. The big conference in July, the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference, as well as a lot of mini conferences in between. So anyway, I'd like to get the phone back to Carol because she has a few more things to say about the ranch and what we're working on there. And so here's Carol.
Thank you again, James. Yes, I was very excited when I attended the last conference in July. I had just come back from Findhorn Experience Week and was very excited and remembered that when I had talked to you before that you had mentioned that you were interested in starting a community and that there really was, that was your dream for the ranch. And so I asked if you were still interested in starting a community, and he said yes. And I said, well, I just came from Findhorn, and your eyes got really big, and he said, we have to talk. And so when we did get a chance to talk, we discovered that we had a very similar vision of what we would like to see in a community, and it was that that a group of people could be living in harmony with a spiritual focus and being in harmony with Mother Earth and being self-sustainable, and also to creating a bridge that we can be accessing the extraterrestrials that want to come help, that James, you have already established a wonderful communication. There is an openness, there is a welcoming that they feel that they can be in that space and do their dazzle duty and help people transform their consciousness, and to continue that and make that more and more available to people, because I've been there and seen what a difference it makes to people when they really experience that for the first time and know that there's no other explanation, that what's in the sky that night is a UFO, and that with all the experiences that, James, that you've had with so much information coming from that source and so much love and so much caring and so much desire to help, that it's very encouraging. So the fact that we are actually going to be moving in the direction of this community, and having brought some of the people together here in Casa Milagros, and Casa Milagros has lived up to its name once again, this wonderful house of miracles in Jalapa, Mexico, that Hugo and Antonia are our beloved hosts that make this house available to people in the beauty of this fabulous tropical paradise, that this group of people with common interest in community that are going to be part of the development of the community on the East Eddy Ranch. And to actually get some things on paper and to see the potential of what Chuck has taught us about permaculture and the sustainable aspects of growing our food and using green building materials and designing permaculture onto that property and using maps of the East Eddy Ranch and actually starting that process has been very exciting. It feels like This ball is really rolling, and we're going to keep it rolling, and sharing and education and so forth are really going to be a focus of this community. And not only is it going to be an example of how people can live in harmony, but it's going to be a place where people can learn about what's going on there and take it into their own lives and their own communities. And that's a very exciting, it's a beautiful outreach, it's a beautiful experience, and a very positive thing that will really have an impact. And so please, anybody that has a positive contribution along those lines, let's definitely have people get in touch and come out and visit. And like we said, like James said, we'll put you to work and get this community rolling.
All right, the natives are restless up on the rooftop. I believe the moon might have come up or something because they're all howling. Hang on a second, maybe we can get a shout out. Hey, you guys, shout out to As You Wish Talk Radio.
Give us a shout.
That's it. Give us a shout.
They're making
too much noise to hear us, but the people are up on the roof right now doing ceremony, and you can hear them howling, and we usually have the drums and the flutes playing, and a lot of times we're up there just having a good time and doing some crazy things up there, some of these people, but it's fun to watch. Basically, I love what we're... some of the things that we were saying, I believe at Finhorn they had a thing where they said if it's not fun, it's not sustainable.
Exactly, yes.
I love that. And again, if it's not fun, it's not sustainable. And that, I think that's going to be my motto from now on. We have a Cherokee saying, you know, if it isn't good for everybody, it isn't good. And those are, I think, probably the two cornerstones of the ranch that we're going to be working on. And, you know, we're going to be having a lot of things there. We're probably going to rebuild the sweat lodge, and we'll have some of the elders come out like we usually do. And I really wanted to do some ceremony and some snake dancing and some of the other things, and hopefully get some of the Tibetan lamas out there and other people as well. But it's going to be quite an event, and we've got quite a lineup of scientists and other people involved, including our good friend Michal Ledwith is going to be out and working with us at the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference, along with some other great speakers. As you can hear, I don't know if you can hear that or not, but we got quite a lot of howling going on upstairs. And
closing ceremony.
Yeah, this is the closing ceremony of the group, and they're as you can hear, they're all having a good time. I wanted to bring Chuck in a little. He said he has a few more things to talk about permaculture and maybe what he's going to be doing up at the ranch. So let's bring Chuck on. Here's Chuck.
Thanks, James. I thought I'd whet people's appetite a little bit more for permaculture, which is my real passion and why it is my passion. I came from a Western science background, and then I sort of stumbled into this permaculture thing by accident, found out I'd been actually practicing permaculture for 20 years and didn't know that's what it was called when I was teaching kids in high school, tearing up the parking lot and putting in a garden and an orchard there and building a solar greenhouse and doing mushrooms in my closet and growing mushrooms in my closet with the kids. And that's how I taught science, and I found out that permaculture is like all of that and more. So it was started in the late 70s and borrowed from, basically it stole everything it could find about good ways of growing things and good ways of living, and learned from the Vietnamese how to grow fish in ponds and vegetables nearby and move the nutrients through the whole system and really, really think in terms of how the whole system works best. From the way people grow food in the terraces of Nepal and in the jungles of India, where they work bananas into guilds and have all kinds of food that are
plants that are supporting the bananas and making it so they mulch without any humans having to do the work. They just come and pick the bananas. And there's many other areas that permaculture just kind of encompasses, in addition to human communities, ways to work with water and ways to get catchment and use and do aquaculture and do handle waste, human waste, so that it's safe and we don't waste it. We use it for the nutrition that it has in it, for growing things safely. So it appears that permaculture's time is now. Maybe it wasn't in the 70s, but it is now. And now this is the practice that makes sense for us to actually live sustainably and actually, be able to grow food without as much dependency on fossil energies and use the human energies much more efficiently. And that's really what it's all about, because that's what sustainability is on the earth, without using up resources and creating wastes. So I have a website that I have some information on now. It's sort of in transition as my daughter is changing it, but maybe it still has some helpful information. It's at www.biosdesign.us, biosdesign.us. And I also have on the main page a link to my blog. And I've been talking a lot on my blog about what I see going on in the world with the economy and how people have to manage and deal with that, working in communities and using permaculture to be the way we live healthily in the future. So thank you very much for letting me share some of my feelings about permaculture, and I hope to see you at the ranch.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. I was going to let people know, if you're going to the website, the eCity website, or even the As You Wish website, we don't have anything up on there about the show that we're doing now, mainly because we've had no access to the Internet, and I've been out in Booneyville for quite some time now. So we should, I should be able to, on my next trip, probably in the first of the week, I'll be able to get some emails, and I'll be able to change the radio site to reflect, the latest shows coming up. It's just been crazy. We've tried to work on the website and, to get this up, but it's just impossible right now. And also, too, those who are sending me emails, please wait till I get home, because I won't be able to get them. We're having a lot of problems with the emails as well. So anyway, we'll probably be back home somewhere around the 10th or so, and we'll have you'll be able to go ahead and hopefully we're still on. we'll be able to get the emails. The phone here is clicking and buzzing and making all kinds of little noise. So hopefully we're still on. I haven't heard any major hang-ups. But if you just be a little patient and send us emails after the 10th, it would be great, and then we can respond to your emails. But we're doing the best we can to keep it up. With what we've got, and we pretty much have no access to the Internet right now. But there's so much going on. I've been hearing over and over just amazing reports around the world of activity, of UFO activity and sightings and encounters and massive triangle ships flying around. It's just been incredible. The people here have a lot of experiences to share with us. And one of the experiences that they have here, it's very famous. There's this large green ball of light that comes from the top of the mountain. And it flies down the mountain right past Casa Milagro, where we are, and goes on down and flies around the village and then goes back up. And a lot of people have seen this over and over again, and they don't have any idea what it is, and so nobody's really communicated with it, but it seems to be happening on a regular basis. So there's other places as well here in Mexico that I'm going to be checking out after I leave this area here, Yalapas. After I leave here, I'm going to go to Sayulita, and I'm going to go to a couple other, some very ancient sites where they've had a lot of activity, and see if I can find some petroglyphs and things like that where they have actually rock carvings of the ships. There's some other events that have been happening here that we've had a nice flyover. We had one ship fly over, a beautiful ship flew right through the constellation of Orion and came over, and what was interesting is our little two-year-old is the one that spotted it. And she was pointing up in the sky saying, "Star, star," and we weren't paying attention, and we look up, and sure enough, here's this star flying right over us. And I'm looking up in the sky right now, and it's very clear, and I wouldn't be surprised if something doesn't come zipping over us again. We had another, the night before last, we had a double, two of them came over and flew over the group, and just about everybody got to see them right after the first one. So it's been quite active here. We've done a lot of clearing work here and a lot of helping out a lot with the some of the local energies and getting everybody very much plugged in. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how everything transpires. They're working on a community. If people want to email after me, I get back. I can tell you more about it. But they do have one place here, and it's Casa Isabel that they're working on turning into a sustainable community, but also keeping it as a place where people can come and stay and rent rooms. So that's another project that we're working on, and we're working on, I'm not even going to say it, I think it's Pasota. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, but we have Pasota, which is another place where we met with the villagers there, and they want to create an eco community, and we're working with that group as well, and they have a beautiful waterfall you can hike up to and dive off the rocks, and we took advantage of that and had a wonderful dinner there to boot on the way back. So they set us up very nice with a dinner, and they're hoping that people will want to get involved in that. I myself think it's amazing here, and I'm hopefully I'll be getting off the mountain a little more and getting out to some of these other events. There's a few things coming up. It looks like I might be going to L.A. I'm not sure yet. We're talking about speaking at a 2012 conference in L.A. I don't have the information on that yet. I just got a phone call and haven't been able to get back to it. But apparently they're having some kind of a major event in L.A. I'll be down speaking to. So those that didn't see me at the International UFO Congress, you can see me in L.A. And that's a whole story in itself that I don't want to get into, but it seems that I was going to speak there, and then I wasn't, and then there's all kinds of other things going on there. And so I didn't want to get involved with the dramas, and so basically I won't be speaking there. And I think it's already occurred anyway, so that doesn't really matter. But I just thought it was kind of ironic that one of the number one UFO hotspots with the best footage of anywhere seems to be ignored by the major UFO community, which really doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but... I also thought it was kind of ironic on Coast to Coast the other day. They had somebody call in that they had an incredible sighting, and they were talking to Linda Moulton Howe about it, and George told him, "Hey, call in to Peter Davenport with National UFO Reporting Center." And sure enough, the guy said, "Well, I already did," and he said we were seeing Orion. And that just kind of blew us off, which is a common occurrence, but they seem to support that kind of nonsense in the these conferences. I don't know why they had some of these guys speaking. But I think it's time for people to rise up and just say, hey, you know, we're done with all the darkness and the disinformation and the gloom and the and all the negative agenda program. And we want to hear a little, you know, more of the story and hear a little bit more about the benevolent ones and what they're up to and the ones that are working very hard on our behalf, you know, working with the frequencies of the planet, helping to balance out the planet, deflecting meteors, you know, they're blocking solar flares. They're doing all kinds of things on our behalf, and NASA's very well aware of it. But, again, you're not going to hear from them. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. I always tell people, you know, it's if you're waiting for NASA or SETI to come clean and tell us about the UFOs, it's probably going to be a long wait, because whatever they do, anything having to do with UFOs has to go through NSA and actually, you know, some of these UFO reporting centers are run by people, ex-NSA people. And so even though you're reporting them and everything else, you're not going to hear about the real positive events and the events that are, you know, seen by very credible witnesses. You're just not going to hear about them. You're going to hear about other events that really aren't so spectacular, and some events that are probably something else other than a UFO, which has happened, you know, on many occasions. You know, a lot of times we'll say a major UFO came in and it ends up being like a C-137 or something of that nature, and they go, oh, false alarm. But I guess it wasn't a UFO after all, you know, and that seems to happen quite a bit. But anyway, hopefully with enough pressure, they'll start waking up and shifting, and if people say, look, you know, we want to hear the whole story, not just the government story or the disinformation story. And enough people just say, you know, we're not going to attend this until you start bringing out the whole story. You know, then they're going to change, because, you know, the bottom line, money talks. And if people don't come to these conferences, you know, it's not going to be profitable to keep putting out those kind of messages. The main thing is that if you do desire to have an experience, and it's out there, and if you do want to know the truth is out there. I mean, it's do your homework, get on the net. There's so many sightings. I'm getting reports, a lot of reports here in Mexico. I'm talking with some of the locals here, and they're giving me reports, and they see a lot of ships coming in here and traveling underneath the ocean. So a lot of the fishermen here, they said they see lights going underneath their boats, moving very fast underneath the ocean. And that's kind of a common occurrence. And I asked them, I said, well, do you think it's possible it might have been a submarine or anything explainable? And they go, oh, no. They said it's moving way too fast. And they said also, too, they've seen them come up out of the water and dive into the water, so that would eliminate any kind of a submarine. But anyway, these stories are I'm hearing over and over. I'm hoping to hear some more stories. There's some people that are very much into UFOs in Saudi Arabia that I'm going to be meeting with, and some people that actually worked in on some films about UFOs that actually live in Saudi Arabia. And I'll also be working with a community there and people that work in other healing avenues at the, I'm probably not going to say it right. I don't know if it's Harmar, or I'll find out later when I get there, but there's a big yoga retreat center where my brother's been working, who does deep tissue massage work and a lot of, you know, a lot of different types of body work, and he's going to be there. You know, doing his thing for, I think, another week or so. So I'll be meeting a lot of those people and seeing if I can find out more about their program and what they're doing, and maybe introduce Chuck and some of our other friends to them, and who knows, they might be wanting to get into a more sustainable situation, some kind of a sustainable community. But it seems to be going in that direction again and again. It seems like every time we contact these people, they know it's time to start shifting into, you know, becoming sustainable, growing your own food, getting out of the system. And as Carol was saying, maybe we should just kind of let this old system go and start creating a new system. And I'm all for that. It's the system hasn't been very good to me, and I'm sure it hasn't been very good to a lot of other people. And those who often it has been very good to have kind of sold their souls. You know, so you know, the ones that seem to be really making it in the system, you know, especially the stock markets and things like that, are those that, you know, invested heavy in security or the war industry or things of that nature that are really not, you know, maintaining the ideals that upon which America was founded. But you know, it's there's an old saying, you know, you can never lose what you truly own. You can't keep what's not yours. And I know any kind of a gain, you know, at the expense of others or at the expense of humanity, the earth is definitely got the old karmic consequences basically, whatever they call it. I'm trying to think of their name, but you know, basically, it's the as you sow, so shall you reap principle. Or I love what Buddha said. He said karma's like fresh milk. It takes a little while to spoil, but as surely as the cart follows the horse that pulls it, it will catch up. And so basically, you know, sometimes I see a lot of people, you know, losing vast amounts of money or losing their homes or losing this, and I have to ask myself, I wonder how they gained all that material wealth, and did they do it, you know, with impeccable integrity? And have they always, you know, kept those principles? You know, is it good for everyone? Is this highest and best good for humanity, earth, to move in this direction? Am I investing in the future? You know, am I investing in peace? And am I trying to create a peaceful, harmonious situation where people live in harmony with each other and nature? And it's time for us to just really totally reevaluate what we are investing in. And is this investment in the highest and best good of humanity, the earth? And maybe think it's time to get with the program and start moving in that direction. You know, that's what we're doing here with our group. We formed a wonderful group here, and some of the group is going to be working with us up at the ranch and bringing their unique purposes to the table and their talents and abilities. And some are going to be working here in Yalapas and helping, you know, this community get going. And it looks like some are going to be going to other places as well. Looks like some places are starting to pop up in Canada, and some options there are starting to open up. So there's so many options here in different places that we can connect with. It seems to be a major network that is spawning out of these meetings and out of this group. And with Carol's networking abilities, it's just amazing how everybody's coming together and connecting and moving in that same direction where they all want to, you know, move into a sustainable, like retreat center, or, you know, it's a combination of both is what I'm seeing people are doing. They're keeping their retreat center, their base income going, because a lot of these places are places, they're rentals where they rent out to vacation, you know, people vacationing. And they're realizing that, you know, maybe it's time that we start thinking a little differently. And so they're kind of sliding out of that, you know, making the buck program into creating more of a community, but they're going to continue to keep the monetary base there, or whatever is keeping, you know, keeping it financed for now. They're allowing, you know, whatever program they're working, whatever's you know, putting bread on the table and keeping the bills paid. They're keeping that system going, but moving in another direction. And I think that's what we all need to do. Is we can't, you know, some of us can just jump right into it because we don't have a lot of these other ties and family situations and things of that nature that are keeping us back. But you know, I've seen some people are just, you know, jumping right in it, and other people are seeing the writing on the wall and seeing things aren't looking too good. And, you know, I don't have a clue what's going on, but I'm sure the stock market is doing its usual ups and downs and crashes. But the more it continues to do this, the more people are going to start thinking that maybe they shouldn't put their stock in this old program and maybe they should start investing in a new program. And that would be the awakening and healing of humanity and the earth, including themselves. So, you know, right now I'm seeing those who are blessed with abundance need to really think about what kind of legacy they're leaving and what kind of you know, what they're going to take with them when they cross over. Because what you do on this planet determines where you go in your next understanding. A lot of people go, this is just an illusion. Doesn't matter, you know, it does matter. What we do here in the physical weighs either light or heavy on the soul, so it does matter. And so now's the time to start moving in that direction and shift into full service mode. Because the mother's going, and there's no way out of it. If you're on this planet, you're on the same ride, and it's going to be a wild one. I really don't see any other way around this because, you know, all the science is in. The heliosphere is collapsing in on itself. The sun is going through some pretty remarkable changes right now. Our Earth's magnetic field has some major holes in it. When the Earth starts up again in its next cycle, all the scientists are saying we're going to have a wild ride when those solar flares and those coronal mass ejections start up again, because it's going to be affecting the grid, and it's going to be affecting communication. It's going to be affecting all of us on every level. There's no way of getting away from it, you know, as long as you're on this planet. And it's going to be a wild ride all the way up to 2012, and I think those who are awake and flow with it and become sovereign and start coming together in these communities are going to do fine. And this is what all a lot of the psychics are seeing right now. They're seeing a lot of communities, and they seem to be generating their own light. They're generating their own food. They seem to be protected through these changes. And it's kind of a common thing. We hear from some of the webbot guys, and they were saying the same thing, that they see, you know, governments collapsing and people becoming sovereign and a lot of communities, you know, in the future. So I don't think it's going to be business as usual anymore, and might be time to, you know, start rethinking your program. I'm going to attempt to move up to the roof here, and I'm hoping I don't lose a signal. But I doubt. We'll see what happens here. It's some pretty nasty steps coming up here, but looks like everybody's still meditating, doing their thing. Don't want to interrupt the group, but they're doing one last little closing ceremony. I was hoping to come up and see what see what's happening with the group, but we still have a connection. I'm going to barge in and say goodbye to everybody, although we're getting ready to sign off here, we've only got just a couple minutes left. You can hear everybody laughing in the background. We're wondering if we should step in and do a quick sign off here. We've got a few minutes left, just a few short minutes. But anyway, we're coming up on the rooftop, and we barely got a couple minutes left, and we still have a signal. Does anybody want to say anything to As You Wish Talk Radio before we sign off? Yeah, we've got quite a crew here, and you can see everybody's having a great time, and one of these days we'll have to arrange a trip, an As You Wish Talk Radio trip, to come up to Jalapa and sit up on this wonderful star deck here and check it out. I'm looking up at the sky right now. I don't see anything flying over, but we are hearing the booby call, and we have this one little two-year-old here that's running around calling for her mother constantly, and she sees her mother as one thing, and that's food. And so it's kind of funny to hear her calling for her mother, and we call it the booby call. But anyway, it looks like we're just about out of time. It's hard to see what's going on. We've got maybe a minute left. Up on the roof, looking to see if anything's flying. We might have to be signing off here because this phone is starting to click and twitch. I'm hoping it hangs on just a little bit longer and see if anything's... Looks like not too much going on up here in the sky, but we'll continue our sky watch. I've got about 30 seconds left, so... We're probably going to have to sign off. So anyway, this is one last time. Anything else? Well, that's it. Howling from the rooftops of Jalapa. This is James Gillen signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio. Have a great evening, and we'll talk to you all next week. Good night.